Mindful is here, my exclusive monthly coaching program designed for ADHD minds just like yours, busy brains. Mindful is all about personalized coaching, community support, and making real progress in your life. It's a game changer. Here's why. With Mindful, you'll have direct access to me, a fellow ADHDer who gets it. We'll work together to manage your ADHD, boost your productivity, and empower your life. Plus, you'll start to join the tight-knit community of like-minded individuals who understand your journey. And here's the best part. When you join Mindful during our pre-launch, you lock in your membership at an unbeatable rate. Even as our prices go up in the future, this is your chance to secure the most affordable price and embark on a life-changing journey. So, busy brains, don't wait. Head over to www.camdenadhdcoaching.com/mindful to enroll today. Your future self is calling. They're everything you could ever imagine. Join us at Mindful and let's conquer ADHD together. I am a passionate person. Things that I do well, I do big, I do excited. If I am angry, it often looks the same way. And so this was something I was very happy to learn about that I no longer saw as a character flaw, but as an explanation to my brain. Hey, yo, busy brain. Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's episode is titled Anger and ADHD. One of the greatest takeaways that I learned about myself when I was diagnosed at 36 with ADHD is that emotions are impacted by a prefrontal cortex, which is underdeveloped in the brain. It was such a relief to me to know that the temper or the emotional ups and downs, that roller coaster that I felt like I had been riding since puberty, was more than just puberty hormones. Now, mind you, menstrual cycle hormones play an immense role in ADHD. That is for another podcast. But I am specifically today talking about the fiery, burning anger emotion that so many of us really don't really like in retrospect, but man, are very driven to experience in day-to-day life. Anger on my emotion wheel that I share with a lot of my clients can be broken down to feelings of being let down, feeling humiliated, feeling bitterness, mad, aggressive, frustrated, feeling distant can lead to feeling anger, feeling critical, something that's critical or skeptical or dismissive can lead to anger. If we feel violated, if we feel jealous, if we feel provoked, annoyed, resentful, disrespected, okay? So many different emotions deep down bubble up and are expressed as this one very red hot emotion of anger. A lot of the work that I do is helping us understand that there are different degrees of anger. There are different degrees of the, you know, six or seven emotions that we're most familiar with. Those emotions are often anger, fear, feeling just bad, surprised, happy, sad, like disgusted. Those are very familiar to most adults, and yet they are not sufficient enough to explain the depth of feeling that adults experience, and little kids and teenagers that we all experience. Anger is something that happens in a split second. It could be something that festers over time. It could be something that is very passive aggressive. Anger comes out in a variety of different ways. And I think that we could all agree that it is something that we aren't always proud of. especially when we act in anger and those actions hurt those that we love or care about, or result in issues where people are judging us, or it really reflects poorly on our character. Yet, it's a very normal emotion. It's a very expected emotion in the human experience. So why does this have a tie to ADHD? The prefrontal cortex in the brain, as seen through the lens of ADHD, is underdeveloped. Something there is not working like it was intended to. I enjoy thinking about the prefrontal cortex in an ADHDer's brain as a babysitter that has gone to lunch, that is not available, that is really doing a poor job or not doing their job at all, honestly. And when we talk about in terms of regulation, regulation of time, regulation of emotion, regulation of energy, the prefrontal cortex takes the crown. It is what is the regulation center of our brain. So when we are feeling anger and it feels almost instantaneous that we can go from happy and excited or joyful or even neutral and just pop right into anger when we are triggered, when that feels almost like an out-of-body experience where we had no say in the matter, you are probably experiencing the regulation center in your brain not showing up for you. I hope that that gives you like a light bulb moment and makes you start to wonder or think about your life through a different context. Once again, understanding and learning about ADHD is not an excuse for more people to just fly off the handle when they feel triggered. This is an explanation as to why it's happening this way. And realistically, this is a pretty shallow explanation. It's not really getting into the neuroscience of what's actually happening in the brain. You're kind of taking my word for it. But if you're one of those people that really likes facts and stuff, go ahead and search up what, that's what my daughter says. I'll search it up. Go ahead and search up what the prefrontal cortex does for the regulation of emotion and watch as your brain explodes with awe and understanding. Okay. So, one of the earliest memories of my motherhood, let me back up even further. I became a mother at 30 years old and became a mother through adoption. And my oldest is now 11. And so I have been carrying a lot of the weight of how I acted in, from a dysregulated state, how I expressed to her that she needed to change, or how she needed to stop doing what she was doing, and all these rules and regulations I thought I was supposed to implement as a parent. I feel really bad about how I acted. And I think to a degree, I will be taking ownership and apologize for the rest of my life or for as long as needed to her about just some of the things that happened when she was young. Just as a side note, adoption actually has a pretty high correlation to ADHD, and I will probably do a whole episode on that when I feel like I'm prepared to. But there's a lot of trauma that happens in adoption, even when it's with an infant. And I know Brielle's birth mom really personally. We served our missions together for our church, and feel so fortunate that our open adoption exists and that it's healthy, and that she's able to know her birth mom and her birth grandparents and uncles and aunts and cousins, and it's pretty awesome. But in addition to that, like, we can't discredit the fact that it's really, really hard on the birth mom, traumatic on the birth mom, that it's really hard on the infant who has been in the womb and experiencing all the sounds and the love of her birth mom, as well as the stress that the birth mom is also feeling, knowing that she's going to place her baby for adoption. Those stress hormones throughout the body, science will tell us, you know, pass through the uterus as well. And so there's just a lot of things that happen because of trauma that symptomatically can look like ADHD. So anyway, I bring that up because when I was a new mom at 30, and didn't know I had undiagnosed ADHD, and I had an infant who was also exuding, if that's a word, symptoms of ADHD from the get-go, from very, very early on. Plus just adoption being a whole different experience. I'd never seen modeled. I didn't know what it was like to have a brand new infant that I hadn't grown in my stomach and in my uterus for 9 months, and then all of a sudden have them in my arms. I was supposed to be feeling excited and wowed and grateful. This was an answer to a prayer for us that had, you know, we'd been going through infertility for so many years. So needless to say, fewer words, Camden. It was a challenge. It's a challenge for everyone. Motherhood's a challenge for everyone. And then add ADHD that was undiagnosed in me on top of that, add ADHD or trauma symptoms for my sweet little girl. Add the fact that it was open adoption and the birth mom was a friend of mine and I was feeling her sorrow as an empathetic person and friend, in addition to finding my space as her mom. All of that was a lot of emotions. And here I am with a prefrontal cortex that does not regulate emotions for me. And I'm trying to be a mom. So it was kind of a hot mess express for a few years there. I got pregnant 3 months later. And my daughters were a year minus a day apart, July 26th and July 27th were their birthdays. And it was intense. It was something real. And so I can have a lot of compassion for myself now going through that time. I wasn't sleeping. They weren't sleeping. And, you know, circumstantially take sleep away from any situation and you're going to get some really interesting behaviors, and then tack ADHD on top of that. It's gonna be very dysregulated. So I share that kind of personal example because I want you to understand that I'm speaking about anger and ADHD from a very real perspective, from a very personal place, and I am a passionate person. Things that I do well, I do big, I do excited. And so if I am angry, it often looks the same way. And so this was something I was very happy to learn about that I no longer saw as a character flaw, but as an explanation to my brain and what my body actually needed. Because if you think that you're an adult that's going to have a regulated brain, then you're always going to assume that in those states, you're just going to show up as an adult who's regulated. And that doesn't always, that's most of the time not the case with ADHD. So I actually found quite a few different things. And I'm going to include some articles on adoption and ADHD in the show notes here in case you want to take a look at that. But Healthline describes emotional dysregulation in like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different bullet points. I can include this article as well. But essentially, if you feel a persistent low-grade hum of irritability, that could be considered emotional dysregulation. If you feel grumpy, like something's brewing, if you feel impatient and you're under stress, if you feel a sudden urge of anger when you're frustrated, you feel emotions intensely. Sometimes the degree of the emotion you feel is out of proportion to the situation that sparks it. Now that one describes Camden and I would say my daughter as well. You have explosive bursts of anger. You might have a hard time expressing your anger verbally. You might not notice other people's feelings. You might misinterpret them. You might find it easy to feel and express anger or sadness than you do for other feelings. So all of these could be a portion of how emotional dysregulation shows up in your body. And I found on the Church of Jesus Christ website there, it looks like that there's like a manual or a guide called Strengthening the Family. And they have an entire lesson about anger, which I thought was pretty cool. And it talks about how there's three different ways that people can inappropriately handle the emotion of anger. And I kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier, but number one is aggression. Okay. So that's through a physical or, you know, or verbal type of actions, like you're taking action, aggression. Another kind is internalization, and another one is passive aggressive behavior. So in those early years of my motherhood, for so long, you have to understand, I was the oldest of seven. I was an elementary school teacher. I was a nanny for three summers. I thought that I had this in the bag. I thought that, like, I knew how to mother. And then I was rudely challenged in that when I had two babies, essentially, within a year. And so that internalization of who I was and who I was supposed to be and who I should be really started to brew inside of me. And eventually, toward year like one and a half, toward year two of being a mother, it started to turn into aggression because I couldn't keep it inside anymore. And we will learn this together as well in my mindful coaching or one-on-one coaching or here on this podcast, that if we can liken our emotions to a beach ball in a pool and we just try to push those emotions down and ignore them over time, we know that soon they're going to explode and they're going to fly higher than they ever would if we gently took them out of the water and let them float there because we were paying attention to them. And we've talked about this on the podcast. So that internalization of not looking at the emotion and instead blaming and judging myself then started in this like intense expression of these beach balls flying out in aggression. And I don't need to get into the details per se of how that manifests in my life, but yes, I raised my voice a lot. And I remember throwing chapstick one of the times too. Like it became something that felt uncontrollable and scary and then led to a lot of grief and shame and disappointment and regret and also to some change. And my ADHD diagnosis helped. But that's why I say I will apologize and take full responsibility over that period of time because I know what was going on. I know that it wasn't some personality flaw or something I was doing intentionally. It makes sense why I reacted the way that I did. Does it make it okay? No. Does it make it, does it allow me to have more compassion and forgive myself? Yes, it does. And thankfully, I've been able to openly talk about some of these things as well with my kids. And we've been able to learn together because guess what? They also have angry emotions. And so I know that much better how to help them navigate those. So also in this lesson, they talk about the costs of anger. And actually, before I get there, there's a scripture in Psalms 107, 28 and 30. I think I just want to read 29. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves therefore, excuse me, let me try that again. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. I was in the middle of a storm and I was desiring calm and a haven. My niece's name is Haven. And so I love that image of just this safe place. I could not find a safe place for anything. I could not figure out the tools that I was supposed to come up with in order to help my body regulate. And the reason why is because I kept relying upon my brain. I kept relying upon what most adults would consider rational thinking. Just be rational here and everything will change. But guess what? The rational wasn't going to show up for me because there's something underdeveloped in my ADHD prefrontal cortex. So instead, what that resulted in are the costs of anger. When I was so wanting to have that haven, I was so wanting to have that stillness and that calm, I instead had the opposite. So I lost the Spirit of God, I felt like. I lost my touch with my goodness of the Spirit. Potentially, you could lose respect for self and other family members, losses of friendship and cooperation, losses of self-confidence, totally felt that one, guilt and loneliness, strained relationships, damage to self and others, children who fear rather than love their parents. Oh my goodness. This was something I wanted completely the opposite of, but because I didn't know how to manage and regulate my body, my children, I could see that they were starting to fear me. I could see that no longer they were having this gentle and kind mother. They're having a completely sleepless, overwhelmed, essentially mother of twins, of two babies that both have ADHD, PS, that didn't know how to control her own ADHD because she didn't know she had it and didn't know how to regulate her body properly. Yeah, that doesn't sound like somebody that I would want to be around. Now, I'm going to put a plug into here that most of the time our life was beautiful. Most of the time we were playing, we were outside riding. I would put them in the trailer. We'd go on bike rides. Most of the time things were good, but most of the time isn't always good enough. Most of the time with a lot of angry moments in between does not foster trust, does not foster connectiveness, does not foster, what's that word when things show up consistently, like a consistency, an emotional consistency, an emotional awareness. And I didn't want that. And I wanted to change. And so I'm grateful that we're here talking about this because things have certainly gotten better. Two other ones that they talk about is the cost of anger. As children who might rebel or engage in delinquent behavior. Think of these kids. Think of kids that grew up in angry homes, okay? I wouldn't consider our home an angry home. Our home was a mostly loving home that had angry moments. But if it's becoming such a problem, these could happen. Children who fail in school, increased risk for problems such as depression, poor health, addictive behavior, and job-related concerns. So we all know people who grew up in angry homes, and we can see the impact of that. And if it's mostly stemming from ADHD, I'm hoping that I might be able to give you a couple insights. Number one, education, that you're not alone and this isn't a personality defect. And number two, hope that there can be change. So in the church that I belong to, President Hinckley, who's a prophet of a church and a president a few years back, said that temper is a vicious and corrosive thing that destroys affection and casts out love. We hear things like that. We read in the scriptures as well about fighting and contention. Third Nephi, that comes from the Book of Mormon, talks about, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention. And this is the kicker here. He stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. So when I'm getting messages of, you know, contention being of opposite of godly behavior, and I'm seeing that in myself, and I'm blaming myself, thinking, well, I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not close to God enough. I must be a massive, like, separation from God type of feelings, it's not going to help me progress. I'm not going to be like, well, now that I've beat myself up, let me go and change myself. Like, that isn't helpful. And it's true. It's true that contention does not breed a healthy soil for the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of God to grow in. Okay. So both can be true. They can both be really painful as someone who has dysregulated emotions, specifically anger, to feel guilt, to feel shame for their behavior. And it can be true that fostering more peace and less contention does bring us closer to God. Once again, hopefully through this context, we can start to understand that that's not because we don't love God. That's not because we're not trying to be like Jesus. It doesn't mean we're not trying to invite the Spirit into our life and to be good parents. Just like, you know, I'm a Child of God says, these kind parents that we're supposed to, that we can be in order to help foster love in our home. But it doesn't always make it, it makes it feel bad sometimes. So another podcast, we're going to have to talk about shame, guilt, and remorse and the difference between the three. But for now, I just want to validate you that in these situations, you know, praying is amazing. Reading the scriptures is amazing. And it's a portion of the puzzle. I read the Book of Mormon this past year every day, And I will say that even with all the ADHD education and everything I'd learned about myself, starting to read the scriptures every day increased my capacity and my zone of tolerance for things that would usually trigger me into anger exponentially. So let me testify here that I do believe that there is a power in the scriptures when specifically when it is coupled with an education about oneself. This also happened when I learned that there's addiction and mental health issues on both sides of my family, my paternal line and my maternal line. I started to have this compassion like, whoa, Camden, in your genes, in your biology, there have been some traumas that have been passed down. And so beating yourself up more is not going to help you move forward. In fact, understanding your history, understanding where you're coming from will actually hopefully have more compassion and more forgiveness and more understanding as to why these emotions are coming up. And then couple that with God's love and God's power and the word of God. That is a more complete story and Christ's atonement as well, of course. So I want to lastly, in these last few minutes, share with you something that has been helpful for me when I understand that the regulation babysitter is out of town. I can't rely upon her to say, hey, sweet toddler brain, let's take a deep breath. Here's a sucker. Let me rub your back and soothe you and tell you everything's going to be okay. Like, that's not happening in my brain space. So what can I do then to create a bubble of security between the trigger and me? The acronym is POINT. Here's the point. Okay. Here's the point. The point to regulating your body is, number one, put your hand out when the trigger happens and you pause. You create space between your body and the trigger. Okay. Think of your arm extending, your hand kind of out like a crossing guard saying, stop. I'm going to pause here. I'm going to recognize that that is triggering something in my body. Okay. So pause. Getting the point number two is O. We're going to go out of our brain. Okay. In our brain, when we continue to stew in our brain, things only get worse. Okay. When we are feeling triggered, accessing rational thoughts is not an option. In fact, biologically, it's not going to happen. Okay. Your amygdala turns on, you're in fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. And, all rationale goes away because your brain is telling you we are in danger. There is a mountain lion chasing us and we need to do anything at all costs to get away from that. I think that I'm probably a fighter in the fight or flight response. And that is why I tend to be vocal and I have thrown a chapstick across the room. Because I'm a fighter. If that was a mountain lion, I would be yelling at the mountain lion. I would be throwing rocks. I would be doing everything that it took to distance myself from the danger and keep myself safe. Okay. So you might experience this different, but because we're talking about anger today and, you know, how we express that anger, we're going to go with this. So pause. Out of my brain. So if we're going out of the brain and the thoughts that are like, oh, we got to get out of here. This is the worst. They totally wronged me. How did they ever disrespect me? Didn't they know better? Blah, 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 blah. That's not going to help. So if we're out of our brain, where do we go? We go in to our body. This is the point. Pause, out of our head, into our body. And it helps me to remember that I have a body and that there isn't a mountain lion and that I actually am safe. And I usually put my hand on my heart, and I use my lungs that are in my body. I take a deep breath. I might even use my body to move myself out of the room. I might use my body to go put myself outside and take a couple deep breaths and feel that air moving in and out of my lungs to remind me that I am safe. Okay. P, pause. I, excuse me, O, out of my head, I, into my body. Next thing is to nurture. So like I said, I put my hands on my heart. I remind myself I have a body. And then I talk really nice things to myself. I say, you're safe. Everything's going to be fine. Yeah, you're having some big emotions. That's okay. Do you see those emotions in your body anywhere? Oh, it's in your stomach. Yeah, there it is. Kind of a tense, icky feeling. It's okay to feel bad. Feelings aren't going to hurt us. They're uncomfortable, but we're all right. I know this is hard. Parenting is really difficult. You're doing a great job, Camden. You've got this. Okay? And whether I say those out loud or say those in my mind, I am nurturing my body. And in that nurture, and sometimes I'm rubbing my arms from my, putting my arms across my chest, rubbing down my arms all the way to my fingertips. That can be very soothing as well. There's a name for it. I'm not remembering the name for it, but it's a technique that really can help a lot. And I think it's called havening, which is great because that psalm talked about haven. Okay, so this havening technique. So now that I'm nurturing my body, essentially I am re-regulating. Do you see all the steps that it took me to regulate to this point? Where many people without ADHD, their brain does this naturally for them. This is why I see why people call ADHD a disability. Because we just had to take four steps. We had to pause and create space. We had to come out of our brain, like literally think out of our brain into our body, and then we had to comfort ourselves externally. Now, listen, people without ADHD can also use this technique. We all experience anger. But the point being is that we really need to do this. Other people, sometimes their brain might show up for them. The rationale might show up for them. They might not be as dysregulated by a small thing as we are. So it's really important that we have this tool readily available. So after I nurture, then I T, here's the point, I turn to love. So I think about the trigger, whether it's something I read, whether it's something that a child did or a loved one did or something that I heard or, you know, whatever it is, I turn to love. Why can I turn to love in that moment? It's because I am regulated. I can remind myself of love. I can remind myself of patience. And that doesn't mean that I have to be excited about the offensive thing that was said. But when I turn to love, it's no longer about me feeling all those things that we mentioned at the beginning. It's no longer about me feeling, let me open up my thing, betrayed, resentful, disrespected, violated, annoyed, numb, skeptical. It's not about me feeling those things anymore. Now, essentially, it's about bringing love into the equation. And I love that idea of perfect love casteth out fear. And I think here is perfect love casteth out enough anger. And sometimes when we're fearful, it comes across angry too. So this love, the more that we can bring love into the equation, that we can really start to calm instead of escalate the scenario. So really, I'm hoping that this brings you compassion for yourself, using the point, you know, let's get the point here. Analogy, will help you at least have one way that you can start to create a distance, a buffer. I kind of think of it as like this halo over the full body or the shield or something, that it allows us to have a little bit more time between the trigger and the way we react. And the best way that I have found to create that buffer is self-awareness, starting to get to understand the things and the triggers that are the most powerful and the most influential for us. I know when I'm interacting with people who are controversial around me, that can be hard. I know that if I haven't had enough to eat, that can be hard, or enough to sleep, it can be harder. I know that if I'm taking my full family somewhere and I have to parent in front of other adults, that that's really a trigger for me. And so I remind myself of how to regulate. I take into account if I actually want to go or I don't want to go. All of these things become a part of my awareness. Anger with ADHD is not a death sentence. It's not something that you have to be fearful of. And when I once again look back on my early parenting years, I'm so thankful that I was able to learn this early enough so that the rest of my life, and in my case, the rest of my time with my children, I can show up as a better version of myself, a more well-developed and a more emotionally intelligent human. And hopefully those skills will be transferred from me to them. If your kids are already grown, it is not too late. You get to live with you in this newly developed state. You get to share this with members in your church or members in your community or your neighbors, or as you're making new friends, or as you're looking to even maybe have some reconciliation with old relationships. But seeing yourself through this new lens, understanding why you do the things you do, that it could be trauma, that it could be ADHD, but essentially it's not just a personality flaw. It's just that you didn't have all the information. So I love you. Remember, I'm always cheering you on, and thanks today for listening. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Busy Brained Saint podcast. If you're eager to explore the world of ADHD coaching, make sure to connect with me on Instagram at Camden_ADHD or visit my website, CamdenADHDCoaching.com. For more LDS-specific ADHD content, don't forget to follow this podcast and join us on Instagram at The Busy Brained Saint. Listen, I'm here to support you on your journey. I cannot wait to have you as a part of our community. Stay engaged, stay inspired, and remember, you're not alone here. Thanks for being a part of the Busy Brained Saint family.